are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me, as always, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. Happy Matchup Wednesday to all of our listeners. Looking forward to breaking down all the key matchups to watch on both sides of the football when the Seahawks and the Lions meet up at Lumen Field in a Week 17 matchup. Glad to have you on board, making Locked On Seahawks your first listen 5 days a week. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. The Adrian Peterson era in Seattle is over after just one game. It's unfortunate because, Rob, you and I both were kind of wondering why the Seahawks signed all day earlier this month. Being a 36-year-old running back, the team was 3-8 at the time. Just didn't seem like it made a lot of sense. But now in retrospect, we got to see Adrian Peterson play one game for the Seahawks. He made a bit of history in that game for Seattle. But more importantly, we've seen Rashad Penny take off the last 4 weeks, and Penny has credited Adrian Peterson for his presence as a mentor. And Pete Carroll talked about how everybody's responded to seeing him on the practice field, the way that he works, how he carries his business. It's really had a major impact on Rashad Penny, and I think that's been a big part of the reason that he's had the best four-game stretch of his career this month.
I absolutely agree. I think that when Seattle signed Adrian Peterson, there was a lot of talk out there about, you know, why are you signing this you know, older player who is unlikely to be able to make any type of significant impact on the field. Well, you signed him to make the impact off the field. He absolutely has played a critical role and inspiring Rashad Penny to recognize that he is very physically gifted, just needed to play a little bit harder, frankly. Something that Adrian Peterson has done throughout his entire NFL career, going back to his college days at Oklahoma. There are very few players out there who play the game with the joy that Adrian Peterson does. And so I think that when you had a Seahawks team, Corbin, that was, you know, just struggling to find some motivation, you know, obviously a very disappointing season for them. I don't think it's just the running backs who got a little bit of a boost from watching a Hall of Famer like Adrian Peterson come in and just attack practices the way that he did. I think that it just provided a lot more of an incentive to everybody else on that team that, hey, I'm not going to be walking in there and wearing a golden jacket anytime soon. And yet this guy who is still doing every bit he can to try to help the team, to try to just, you know, squeeze out every single moment that he can of playing professional football, making millions of dollars to play a game. And so I do think that the move in retrospect makes a lot of sense from the Seahawks. And just a tip of the cap to Adrian Peterson. If this is indeed his last day with the Seahawks or his last game with the Seahawks, then, you know, it's pretty cool that he scored the touchdown that tied him with the immortal Jim Brown in terms of his NFL legacy. And again, the fact that he is going to be walking into the Hall of Fame just a couple of years from now, I think that is something that, that, you know, it deserves some acknowledgement. And then again, for the Seahawks in general, I think it also is a tip of the cap to the young talent that they already have on the field, whether it be Rashad Penny, whether it be Alex Collins or some of the other younger backs. They learned a little bit just from watching the veteran and how he performed.
And it's cool that Adrian Peterson is actually going to have a signature moment that fans can remember from his brief time in Seattle, because they have had some aging backs in the past that have played for them. Edgerrin James, Franco Harris, two guys that are in the Hall of Fame, but really didn't do anything in their brief time with the Seahawks. That was at the very tail end of their career, just like Peterson. But at least with Adrian Peterson, yeah, he averaged under 2 yards per carry in his only game with the team, but he scored a touchdown, and it was a historic touchdown. It tied legendary Browns running back Jim Brown for the 10th most total touchdowns in NFL history. So he at least has that in a Seahawks uniform. There's something that fans can hang their hats on, be like, you know what? He at least did this with us. And so That's really cool. That's something Adrian Peterson will remember. That's something fans will remember. The players that got to play with him in that game and be around him. It's unfortunate that he's been dealing with a back issue that just hasn't gotten better the last couple of weeks, and that prevented him from having a chance from playing in any more games with the Seahawks. And I would hedge bets at this point. I'm not necessarily somebody that bets against Adrian Peterson. He could play for somebody next year because he's in phenomenal shape and he just takes care of his body. But he's going to be 37 years old. I think that there's a really good chance that this was his swan song, this last game playing for the Seattle Seahawks. He might not play another down in the NFL. And if that's the case, what a career that he's had. Over 14,000 rushing yards, 126 total touchdowns, 7-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro, 3-time rushing champion, and 1-time league MVP with over 2,000 rushing yards in 2012, coming off of a torn ACL, which is still one of the most remarkable achievements that I've ever seen in the NFL. So if this is it, great career for Adrian Peterson, and he certainly made an impact both on and off the field in his very brief time that he's with the Seahawks. A few other noteworthy roster moves today. The Seahawks activated DJ Reed and Will Disley off of the COVID-19 list. They've recently activated Brian Monet as well as Brandon Shell too. Unclear if all four of those players are going to be playing this weekend, though. DJ Reed and Will Disley are expected to be out there. They practiced on Wednesday. They should be back in action for the Seahawks. But Brian Monet, a little bit uncertain, even though he was a full participant today, still coming off a PCL sprain. Brandon Shell, Pete Carroll didn't sound overly encouraged about his chances of playing, still dealing with a shoulder injury. And honestly, with Jay Kurhan being the starter now over there, undrafted rookie, 2 games left to play, you're not going to the playoffs, maybe no reason to play Shell as a starter at this point anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that considering how well that Jay Kurhan has played, then yeah, I'd like to see him continue to play at that right tackle position. Same thing with the running back Alex Collins, considering how well that Rashad Penny has played. I don't think that there's any reason to push Alex Collins back onto the playing field for the Seahawks unless they absolutely need him. But it sounds like that neither one of those two players are just a given for being able to return. At the flip side, if Brian Monet is able to return, considering how well that Detroit likes to run the football, or how often I should say that Detroit likes to run the football, then that would make some sense to bring him back in. Considering how well that DJ Reed has played this year, then I really think that that makes a lot of sense as well. I think that Seattle, when they have DJ Reed and Sidney Jones at the cornerback position, that is solidified a position that's really been pretty ugly for the Seahawks. And then a little bit of a tip of the cap to Will Disley as well. I was as critical as anybody about the way that Seattle was using Kobe Parkinson the last couple of games, and more as a blocker than as a receiver. But Will Disley, that's exactly what he can do for the Seahawks. So again, I do think that they are going to try to run the ball down Detroit's throat, and Will Disley would provide a much stouter point of attack blocker than Parkinson or frankly Joe Everett at that point.
Yeah, I think they did miss Will Disley in this last game, but they still were running the football effectively even without him. And so it'll be nice to have him back against this Lions team that's had some trouble stopping the run themselves. One other injury of note, you mentioned how much the Lions like to run the football, and they've been pretty darn effective at it as of late. Dan Campbell taking out those kneecaps. That's the way they like to play their football in Detroit. And it's a team that's been playing much better football as of late. Al Woods, the big defensive tackle dealing with a shoulder issue, did not practice today. Now, we'll see if he's able to come back in the next day or two. And if he does, he's got a good chance to play in this game. No signs that he's not going to be suiting up Sunday at this point. But if they don't have him, you better hope Brian Monet is available so you got some size in there. Maybe Miles Adams gets called up again. The coaching staff seems like they've been pretty impressed with what he did the last 2 games. But that would be a big loss, figuratively and literally, for the Seahawks up front against a Detroit team that really likes to play smash mouth football and run the ball down teams' throats. Let's get to our matchups here. But first, to celebrate the new year, got to talk about my favorite protein bar, Built Bar. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the best protein bar on the market, and it tastes like a candy bar. It makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good, you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill, you'll want to eat healthy but it just gets so boring this time of year. By like week three of your resolution, you might be thinking this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? That won't be the case with Built Bars. They're covered in 100% real chocolate, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually goes for around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So here's an idea for your new year. Go to all your secret treat stashes at home, in the pantry, and at the office, in the car, wherever, and throw out all the sugary and calorie-filled treats. Replace them with Built Bars. So when you're craving a snack or treat, you can reach for something that's healthy and tastes incredible. Go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off. That's LOCKEDON at Built.com for 15% off. All right, matchup Wednesday. We got the Seahawks and the Lions getting ready to face off. Two teams that won't be playing in the playoffs, haven't won a lot of games, but still plenty to play for at the end of the season. Player's going to be trying to impress for the 2022 campaign, so they're on the roster in Seattle or with another football team. This is a chance to impress other teams that are looking on to see how your effort is, how you play when your team is out of the playoff picture. Let's look at the Seahawks on the offensive side of the football first against the Lions defense. And I think you and I talked about this some on yesterday's show. The Lions have a pretty darn good pass rusher off the edge in Charles Harris, and that could be quite the test for Jake Kurhan. And even Dwayne Brown has not been a great season for him at left tackle. Harris leads the Lions with 7.5 sacks, and they might be getting Julian Okwara back this week, second-year player out of Notre Dame, a guy that's got some quick twitch off the edge and can get the job done rushing the quarterback as well. So if they've got him back to go with Harris, might actually be some somewhat challenging matchups for Seattle's tackles in the pass protection department.
Yeah, and I think that anytime we're talking about the Seahawks, then you have to focus in on their ability to protect Russell Wilson. And as you just mentioned, Corbin, it's basically been a one-man show for the Detroit Lions so far this year. Charles Harris has 7.5 sacks, more than double anybody else on Detroit's roster. Okwara coming back, Austin Bryant, the former pass rusher from the Clemson Tigers, also has been making some fairly decent plays, had a sack this last week. So I do think that is something that Seattle has to be able to exploit. Frankly, they have to be able to slow down Charles Harris. They have to be able to give Russell Wilson some time in the pocket. If they are able to do so, then I think that he is going to have one of the cleaner pockets, that he's had so far this season. He should be able to throw the football, pretty well. In this particular game, which would kind of lead me into the matchup that I am most intrigued by. I want to see, first off, if DK Metcalf is going to play. He missed Wednesday's practice with a foot injury, although he's been doing that for much of the second half of the season. So I do fully expect him to be playing in this game. But still, when you consider how many injuries the Detroit Lions have had at the cornerback position, it's very similar to what Seattle has struggled with so far. But you look at guys like A.J. Parker, a 5'11", 178-pounder, Will Harris, a converted safety at 6'1", 207 pounds. Ifeatu Melifonwu, former Seahawk draft guy that we talked about a lot, but is intriguing. His straight line speed, it has great size, 6'3", 210 pounds, but he hasn't changed directions the way that DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett do. I really think that this is a matchup that Seattle should be able to exploit, their receivers against Detroit's cornerbacks. But again, as you talked about before, it all comes down to Seattle has to first protect Russell Wilson if they expect him to be able to get the football to their playmaking wide receivers.
That's the key, isn't it? You got to get number three some time in the pocket so he can throw the ball downfield. This is a Lions secondary that has had so many injury issues. They've got a number of players on injured reserve. They lost their first-round pick from a couple years ago. Jeff Okuda is on injured reserve, and he's been out all season. That was just the start. They've lost a number of other corners in the past couple of weeks, and so they're down to using safeties at the cornerback position. Melifonwu, who's a player they're excited about, but he's been hurt most of the year. He's only played in 5 games, did start last week against the Atlanta Falcons. He's got a lot of upside, could be a really good starting corner in this league, and they think Okuda is going to be that as well. So you've got those two players that are going to be their building blocks of secondary, but they've been out either the entire season or most of the season. The Seahawks are going to be seeing 4th, 5th, 6th string cornerbacks in this game. So you would think they can take advantage of that. At the same time, they got to be able to keep Russell Wilson protected enough that he can take advantage of that. And I think we got to mention for the last one here, the Lions defensively have not been great in any facet. They have gotten better with their pass rush as the season's progressed. Their linebackers have played a bit better, but this is still a very green linebacker group. A lot of youth, a lot of inexperience, a lot of rawness with this group. And the Seahawks have been able to run the football pretty well the last month of the season. Rashad Penny's rolling. They might have Alex Collins back for this game, although I would argue at this point that I think Rashad Penny and DJ Dallas should be the two. You're out of the playoffs. Those should be the two guys that I think are getting the bulk of your reps, and maybe you can mix Travis Homer in as your third down back. I just don't know that it's really a big deal whether you have Alex Collins available or not. He gave them some good games earlier in the season, but his abdomen issue he's still dealing with, coming off the COVID list. He's going to be a free agent in the offseason. It just doesn't seem like he's necessarily part of your future in the backfield, whereas Rashad Penny still could be with the way that he's playing, and DJ Dallas absolutely could be, and Travis Homer even with his third down capabilities. Those guys could be the future of your backfield. You can maybe get Chris Carson back, but those should be the guys playing this game. But I think that this is a matchup when you look at the linebackers. Derek Barnes, the rookie out of Purdue, is a player that I liked a lot in the pre-draft process, but he's only started a handful of games. Again, an inexperienced, raw player that's got some room to grow. I think you can take advantage of him in the run game and with your running backs as pass catchers as well. And then the other linebackers that the Lions have, Alex Anzalone is a player that started a lot of games for the New Orleans Saints, and they've gotten some improved play from Reeves Maben. But again, this is not a group that's full of talented players at linebacker. It feels like that this is a matchup. The Seahawks, with the way they've been running the ball as of late, they should be able to get that downhill run game going and be able to pick up some big chunk yardage, have some sustained drives, and that's going to also help them be able to get that passing game going with some of the play action off of that run game.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, this is a matchup that Seattle should be able to exploit. As you mentioned, Anzalone was a good football player with the New Orleans Saints. He was a good football player at the Florida Gators before, just struggled with injuries. But he's instinctive. He is physical. He's not a terrific athlete. Jalen Reeves-Maben, on the other hand, is a terrific athlete. He's built more like a safety, though. He's not a real big guy. He's 220 pounds soaking wet. So if Seattle is able to get to him, then they should be able to block him, and that should create some wide open running lanes for Rashad Penny to exploit. And I mentioned Rashad Penny specifically, Corbin, because I agree with you that Seattle should be using their younger running backs rather than, say, an Alex Collins, just because I do think that there is more likely that Seattle is going to be focusing on those younger running backs moving forward. And then finally with Derek Barnes, I was high on him coming out of Purdue as well. He is raw, though, as you mentioned. He's a little bit of a mixture of Detroit's other two starters. Again, the aforementioned Anzalone and Reeves Maben. And so, again, because he is as green as he is, then Seattle should be able to take full advantage of that. Now, the one thing I would say here is that Detroit does have some big bodies along the defensive line. They've got a nose guard in particular, Aleem McNeil, who was playing pretty good football here recently. We talked a lot about the way that Al Woods and Brian Monet have been able to make some big splashy plays for the Seahawks in the interior. Aleem McNeil, 6'2", 320 pounds, has a couple of sacks over the last few games. He's made some big plays as well. Considering how much that Ethan Postick has struggled, that might be another matchup that we should be highlighting here. But again, in terms of the running game, if Seattle can keep Detroit's defensive line moved, then they should be able to take advantage of their linebackers. Watch out. Rashad Penny might be cashing in for big dollars and big yards again this week as well.
Yeah, this really does feel like a matchup with the way that the Lions have struggled with run games most of the year, that if you can get blockers to the second level like they were able to do against the Bears last week, you might see Rashad Penny running for daylight a few times in this game. And who knows, he might be pushing Jonathan Taylor for the most 25-plus yard rushes in the NFL. It's just remarkable that he's doing that. He's only done it really in four games, and he's tied for second most in the NFL. It just shows you the type of explosiveness that Rashad Penny has at around 230 pounds. We're going to switch gears now. Seahawks going on defense against the Lions on offense. There's a lot of uncertainty who's going to be available for Detroit this weekend, including at the quarterback position. Jared Goff came off the COVID list, but now he's dealing with a knee injury and did not practice on Wednesday. So who knows if Goff will be under center. If not, it'll be Tim Boyle. Before we get to that matchup, make sure to check out the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview 2021, local experts' betting advice and draft analysis. The most comprehensive college football playoff preview is live now, so make sure to check it out. All right, let's get to the matchups here. Seahawks defense against Lions offense. This is a Detroit offense that, as of late, has been playing a lot better, and they were helped by the addition of Josh Reynolds, who Seahawks fans should know really well. He played several seasons for the Rams, so he was catching passes from Jared Goff in Sean McVay's offense. He signed with the Titans in free agency, had an injury. Things just didn't work out in Tennessee. And ultimately, he was released in the middle of the season. But, Rob, he's got 295 receiving yards in six games since coming over to the Detroit Lions. Hooking back up with Jared Goff, he's been able to pick up where he left off last year, put up some good numbers. And next to him, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the rookie out of USC, is putting up some monster numbers over the last four games as well. So a receiving core that entered the year with nothing but questions suddenly is looking pretty solid with those two as the new headliners.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that if Seattle does in fact have DJ Reed back on the field as well as Sidney Jones, then I feel pretty good about their matchups against Detroit's wide receivers. But yeah, I love that you highlighted these two receivers in our top matchup here for Seattle defensively against the Lions, because I really think that is the way that the Lions actually could surprise Seattle a little bit. Everybody knows that Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions are going to look to establish the run. That's been their mentality since day one, when Campbell took over as head coach of this club, and the way that they drafted and the way that they brought in free agents. But Josh Reynolds is a deep threat. He obviously has a rapport with his former Rams quarterback, Jared Goff. And so because both of Seattle's corners in Jones and Reed, again, are in that 5'10", 5'9", type of range, and that Reynolds is 6'3", and can absolutely fly, then this is a concern. Now, Jared Goff doesn't have the strongest arm in the league, but he does have good touch on the deep ball. You know that Quandre Diggs would love to get another interception against this time against his former team, the Detroit Lions. And obviously just push up his price that much more with undrafted free agency here in just a couple of weeks away. But at the same time, I do think that it's critical to kind of focus in on Seattle's cornerbacks and just the drop off in talent that we have seen when DJ Reed is not on the field. So let's assume for a moment that DJ Reed is not available. If it is, in fact, John Reed, if it is, in fact, Bless Austin, I don't know that either one of them have the straight line speed to be able to run with Josh Reynolds. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, as you mentioned, and highlight him just a moment ago, I mean, his versatility, the creativity that Detroit has shown in how they've lined him up. They put him in the backfield. They put him in motion. They put him in slot. They put him at flanker. They really have shown a lot of creativity for a rookie to be able to have that much, different avenues in which he could make big plays for the Detroit Lions. To me, it is just a commitment to the youth that the Lions have shown, and one of the reasons why the team is playing such good football for them right now.
Yeah, St. Brown out of the slot. You might want to include Ugo Amadi here, and I mentioned on yesterday's show, I feel like he's been exposed at a lot of times this season. He's gotten in trouble getting a little bit too grabby, has gotten holding penalties at the most inopportune times. He's had some issues wrapping up ball carriers. He has 11 missed tackles already this year. So they might be looking to take advantage of that, working St. Brown out of the slot, get the football to him, and let him create after the catch. And that's something that he's done really well the last four games. You mentioned the run game, though. What Dan Campbell wants to do, he wants to run the football. Going back to that biting the kneecaps off of other teams, they want to be a physical smash-mouth football team. And they've been able to do that even without DeAndre Swift, who's been out since week 12. Well, he practiced today. So there's a really good chance they're going to have their former first-round pick out of Georgia back in the lineup to 1-2 punch with Jamal Williams, who's a good between-the-tackles runner, spent his first couple of years in Green Bay, so the Seahawks know him from that particular team. But he's a good between-the-tackles runner, and DeAndre Swift's got that home-run hitting ability. And what makes him especially difficult to defend is he's a very good pass catcher out of the backfield. And we've seen the issues Seattle's had. Knock on wood, they've been better at defending screens the last couple of games, but DeAndre Swift would be a very difficult draw in that regard because he is a playmaker. He's a player that can catch a screen pass, go off one block, and then be gone. And he's got the ability to do that out of the backfield as a runner too. And so Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks, I thought Jordan Brooks had a very good game against the Bears. He did miss a couple tackles. Bobby Wagner missed three. He's had some issues tackling the last couple weeks that we normally don't see from the future Hall of Famer. You guys better wrap. You better take perfect pursuit angles. If you don't, this Lions football team can run the football. Their line's been playing well. The onus is going to fall on those linebackers to wrap up and make tackles. And the defensive tackles in the interior have to play well too, especially if you don't have Al Woods. Again, that would be a huge loss for the Seahawks in the middle in this game, given the Lions' propensity for running the football and trying to grind it out offensively. You don't have Al Woods in the middle plugging things up. It's going to make it that much tougher for the Seahawks to be able to stop Detroit's run game. And so that might be my number one matchup in this game for the Seahawks on defense. Are you going to be able to slow down the run game? And their running backs and receivers on the backfield are going to be a potential problem too.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, as much as I like the idea of Seattle's cornerbacks against Detroit's wide receivers and Jared Goff and the possibility of Quandre Diggs, again, being able to get an interception against his former team, all of that, I think when it just comes down to X's and O's, this is the matchup. It is Seattle's front seven against the Detroit Lions running game because, that's what Dan Campbell wants to do. This team runs the football an awful lot. They have a true thunder and lightning kind of attack. DeAndre Swift is a dynamic back, not only as a runner, but also as a receiver, as you mentioned. Jamal Williams has been very much the similar kind of a downhill running tough guy kind of mentality that Adrian Peterson brought to Seattle, as we talked about in the first segment there. The fact that he has started so many more games than DeAndre Swift did for the Lions, even this season, even when Swift was healthy, I think is a testament to the fact that the Lions do believe that he brought a little bit more firepower, to their team, even though he doesn't have that breakaway speed. He just has that mentality. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Lions, use their two backs against the Seahawks, which, a club that has been pretty stout up the middle when they've had Al Woods. And it's not that Al Woods is just a run stuffer. As anybody who's been paying attention to the Seahawks over the last couple of months, they've seen Al Woods become quite the effective pass rusher as well. So it would be a huge loss if he is not involved in this football game. And one other note I would mention is that, anytime that it's close, if it's third and close, fourth and close, this is the Detroit Lions team, Corbin, as you probably know, that leads the NFL in attempts on fourth down. Dan Campbell is going for broke. He is trying. And it's that type of mentality that I think, again, has his young Lions team playing so hard for him. So the Seahawks had better buckle up because it's not just going to be three downs and then they punt. They're going to be going for on fourth downs a few times as well. And so Seattle has shown some effectiveness on fourth down. They're going to have to be that much more effective. Otherwise, Detroit could sneak into Seattle and walk out with a win.
Let's talk pass rush real quick, because I think that that's one other thing, especially if Jared Goff is playing this game. He isn't the most mobile of quarterbacks, and his backup, Tim Boyle's got a little more mobility, but not a guy that's super spry either. And the tackles for the Lions, you got Penei Sewell, their first-round pick out of Oregon, and Taylor Decker, a former first-round pick out of Ohio State. Those two guys, first-round pedigree, might potentially be a problem for the Seahawks, but we also know how well Carlos Dunlap and Rasheem Green have been playing. And Daryl Taylor, been a little quiet the last couple games, but his speed might actually be a real difference maker, especially going against a player like Decker that has had some issues in the past against really athletic pass rushers that have good burst flying upfield.
Yeah, you see that big smile on my face, Corbin. I've been waiting to talk about these matchups all day long, all week long. Because again, when you have a Seahawks squad like Seattle has right now, which is obviously not going to be the play, in the playoffs or anything like that, then this is time to evaluate. And so Daryl Taylor, this is going to be a heck of an opportunity to see what you can do. Rasheem Green, same kind of thing. I'm really curious to see how Seattle Seattle's pass rushers are going to be able to perform against two offensive tackles that, as you mentioned, were drafted in the first round. Now, the Lions, with Decker back, have moved him back to right to left tackle, and Sewell is back over at the right tackle position. So, you know, the rookie, after playing his entire college career at Oregon at the left tackle position, that's a big transition for a young man. And so I'm kind of curious to see how Seattle is able to kind of exploit that. I want to see Daryl Taylor use his speed. I want to see Carlos Dunlap use his power. And the one thing I would kind of focus in on here is not sacks. It's not even quarterback hits. Jared Goff, going back to his days at Cal and the Los Angeles Rams, even the St. Louis Rams, and then Tim Boyle as well, you know, they both get the ball out of their hands pretty quickly. They are not dynamic dual threat kind of guys, but they do get the ball out of their hands quickly. It's one of the reasons why Goff in particular has been so effective in just his completion rate, because again, he's short throwing a lot of short passes. So Dunlap, use those long arms, get your hands up and be able to try and deflect the pass. Same thing with Daryl Taylor, exceptionally long arms for his frame. Rasheem Green, same kind of thing. This is not a game that I expect the Seahawks to have, you know, 5, 6, 7 sacks, but I would not be surprised at all if you see a tipped pass at the line of scrimmage. Perhaps one of Seattle's linebackers or defensive backs is able to get a pick six in this kind of a game that can turn what could be a close game into a blowout for the home team.
Yeah, they haven't had very many of those bounces go their way this year. It'd be fitting that when they're eliminated from the playoffs, they might have a few bounces like that come against the Lions. But again, this is a gritty Detroit team that I anticipate is going to be coming in ready to roll. Thanks for making Locked On Seahawks your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Make sure to check out the Locked On Seahawks podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Coming up tomorrow, going to be back to the grind with our Locked On crossover series. I'll be teaming up with Matt Derry of Locked On Lions to preview Sunday's upcoming Week 17 matchup at Lumen Field. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for listening in. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.